Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mysterious Topics coverage of the History Channel's series Curse of Oak Island. I am John, and reuniting with me for Season 4 is Jordan of the Nighttime Podcast and Ground Zero, or close to it anyway, in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hi, Jordan.
Hello, John. Hello, listeners of Mysterious Topics. I'm glad to be back and glad to be talking Oak Island with you again.
Yeah, I can't wait to get started, as we had just watched the premiere episode of Season 4. Before we get started, I just wanted to say quickly that our schedule for the podcast for the Oak Island coverage, the Curse of Oak Island series coverage, will be every 2 weeks. So we're doing the premiere episode on its own tonight, and then 2 weeks from tonight, we will do our next one, which will cover the next two episodes, and we'll continue that way through the end until the final one. Assuming there's an even number, we'll do the final one on its own also.
So that's about 13 sleeps per recording that we do for the people who are really anxious.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, so this Season 4 was, the title of it was Going for Broke, and it really is going to be a fun year, I think, because that's exactly what they're saying they're doing anyway. I guess they're going to be spending more than $2 million to really go after several different areas of the island.
Yeah, is the season called Going for Broke, or was that the name of the episode?
I think it's just the episode one is called Going for Broke.
But the episode one, regardless, it was kind of setting up the entire season. And they do such a good job of the show of, like, near the end, they'll always do something to suck you in for next week. But for the first episode of every season, they do such a great job of setting up, you know, the excited, like, kind of the theme of the entire season. And this one, like the name implies, is Going for Broke. And it's all talking about, you know, the money they're spending, and they're going to find get to the end of these different leads they have. And just, I think they even said they're going to push the envelope in what they're doing. I can say, as someone who visited the island before the season started, seeing some of the work they're doing, I can testify to the fact that they're definitely going to push the envelope this season. I can't wait to find out what happens.
Yeah, and I think we noticed right away there were some changes on the island from the previous season of episodes. And the big one was that they had the swamp completely drained.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they did that, but the biggest, and I only recognized it because I'd been there this summer for two tours, but on the site of the money pit, they showed some shots of it, kind of teasing what's coming next. But the site of the money pit right now is completely different than what you would have seen in the prior episodes. When we visited for the tour of the island this summer, as we came to the money pit, they asked everybody to put their phones away and not take any pictures because they didn't want you to put up online for, you know, to spoil the show. But what they had was massive cranes with pipes drilled into the ground that weren't like a regular pipe. It'd be a pipe like almost big enough to like drop a motorcycle down or something, these big, massive things. And if you go online and search it, you'll find pictures, because what people ended up doing, like the cranes and stuff were so big that people living near Oak Island knew about, you know, some massive work was going on, so that people had gone around the island in boats taking pictures. And when that wasn't good enough, somebody had sent drones with cameras on them. And so people had sent drones above the island taking pictures of the money pit. So there's a lot of photos around online at the site of the money pit. But I guess you don't need to go Google it, because you can just wait for another episode or two, and I'm sure you're going to see what they're up to.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. People flying drones. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody would take a shot at it with a shotgun from the island.
Yeah, Dave. I'm surprised Dave Blankenship. Yeah. He would be the type.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just it'd be a great photo if they have a drone taking a photo of, you know, Dave Blankenship without a shirt on, maybe throwing a bottle up at it or something.
Right.
That would be I would get that enlarged, put that on my office wall.
Okay, so, well, they did start out talking about last season, the diver John Chatterton, when he made it down to the bottom of 10X, and they kind of rehashed that a little bit. But the interesting part about that was there was supposedly one of the images that they saw when they put a camera down before was some type of a square, they thought, wooden box, and this diver, John Chatterton, said he picked it up and it was a rock that was square. Mm-hmm. And they were, and this, they had a little conference with the Blankenships, and they had many of the artifacts that they brought up from 10X. And Dan Blankenship was saying, you know, all of this came up from 10X, you know, so it's not, you know, like John Chatterton, I think, was trying to make the argument that this was just a natural opening underground. Mm-hmm. And I think Marty was inclined to agree with him, but I think Dan was very adamant that there were artifacts down there that he got from there.
Yeah, I think that was the taking that job was probably the worst decision of Chatterton's life, because I don't think there's anything he could have done down there to convince them that 10X still isn't a compelling lead. And pretty much since he did the dive, and I remember us talking, John, about how complicated this dive was and how, you know, high end of a diver they would need to get there. So this guy is a purebred, like, pro diver that did it. But ever since that dive, every time he's mentioned on the show, they almost roll their eyes about what he said and his discoveries down there, because I think they are not even trying to hear that there's not something at the bottom of 10X. But what they did at the beginning of this episode is they were kind of listing the different leads they had or different spots they were investigating on the island. And when 10X came up initially, that was going to be one that they weren't that interested in, but Dan and David Blankenship managed to make enough of a case. And I guess what they agreed on is John Chatterton said he lifted up the square structure that people up until now had suspected may be a treasure chest. He says he picked it up and moved it and dropped it, and it was just a rock. So what they're going to do is get some imaging of the area. And if the box or rock or whatever it is, if it hadn't been moved, that would imply that John Chatterton didn't pick it up and rule it out. So I think they're just looking for some way to prove him wrong. And I can't wait till they get the results of or actually do the test to see, because if the rock isn't moved, that will definitely shed some doubt or cast some doubt on everything John Chatterton said about what's down there.
Yeah, and I can understand the Blankenships wanting to discredit everything that John Chatterton was saying, because they spent many, many years of their life and nearly died getting down as far as they did in 10X. That's many, many years of very hard work. Basically, just the two of them, well, with a couple of people helping them, I guess. But still, that's a lot of work for somebody to just say, well, it was just a natural opening underground. Yeah, I can understand how they feel.
On top of the work, it's like their family legacy. So if like you have, I'm trying to think of an example that will resonate with Americans as well as Canadians, but there's lots of companies that incorporate a last name. So for example, all the ones that are popping into my head are Canadian. We have a big grocery. No, I'll go with a beer company. We have a beer company called Olin's, and they make beer, and it's a family name, like the Olin's family or the family that made this. So their legacy, as like if you're a member of the Olin's family, their legacy is going to be, you know, this great beer they made that so many people like. It would just be like if somebody just completely said nasty things about the beer. Terrible beer. Nobody likes it. It's, for one, they spent a lot of time building up the company, but secondly, it's the family legacy and the pride and all that goes with it. I should also say that using the example for the Olin's probably wasn't good, because there was just the son just murdered the father and was convicted, and it's a big trial here in Canada. So I guess the family legacy is going to be tainted regardless of the quality of their beer. So Wow. Maybe forget I said all that.
I was just going to say that sounds like a nighttime podcast episode in the future.
Yeah, maybe next year. The trial is like being redone or whatever. Something went wrong and, you know, they're redoing the whole trial. The son was found guilty. And anyway, it's a crazy story, probably way over my head.
Okay. Okay. Well, so also on the episode, they had a local historian from Nova Scotia. Was this, I can't remember his first name now.
Is that Doug Krull?
Doug Krull. Yeah. Was speaking, and on a speaker phone was Zena Halperin, who is a Knights Templar researcher, and she got possession of a book, she said, from someone sent her a book, and in the back flap of the book was this map that came out. And This is very interesting. It's mm-hmm. it's a map of Oak Island, and it was in French, but they translated it into English. And this could really be evidence that the Knights Templar may, in fact, have been in the area.
Mm-hmm. It's just another bit of evidence of that. But I personally, I haven't looked into it enough to say one way or another, but I haven't seen anything yet that makes me believe 100% they visited here. But there are so many people who are into it and into the idea that the Templar visited. And Doug Crowell, as well as the rest of his partners, and they lead a group that I'm actually a member of called Blockhouse Investigations. And they're doing a lot of really good research on the Templar and whether or not they visited Atlantic Canada. So I think if anyone can figure it out conclusively, it's going to be them.
Right. So, and then also at that time, well, first of all, the map was a very good match to Oak Island, the outline. It wasn't exact, but it was very close. And they had just about everything listed. They had something called the marsh, which would have been the swamp, something called the basin, which would have been Nolan's property. And there was something called, I think, a wall or something. And there was, and Fred Nolan last year was on the show talking about that. He had dug up and found a dam. I guess it was a dam.
Yeah. On the map, it said the dam. And I think what he described last season was finding a bunch of large logs basically buried underground right around where they claimed the dam was.
Yes. And so at that point, oh, and then also on the map, there was a map of Nova Scotia where, so there was Oak Island was one dot, and then another dot above it, which was a town in Nova Scotia called New Ross. Mm-hmm. And Doug Crowell was saying that in that area, there was supposed to have been a Knights Templar castle. Mm-hmm. And they found out about this, and so then they went to the house where the people that own the property now invited them over to take a look at their property.
Yeah, and that's something that when I was watching it, this is the part where I almost fell out of my chair, is the owner of the property. Her name is Alessandra Naduvari. She was actually a guest on my show, The Nighttime Podcast. I had no idea she was going to be on Oak Island, on Curse of Oak Island. I guess this is going to make Nova Scotia sound like even a smaller place to the international yeah. listeners, but there are a lot of people here. It's just a coincidence that she was – I've only released 30 episodes of my show, so there's only been about probably 25 guests to my show, and it's quite the coincidence that she ended up being a guest on my show last year, unrelated to her house or Oak Island or anything. She was sharing a paranormal story about a haunted house she had lived in as she was writing a book, I think 4 or 5 years ago. But Alessandra, she's a history buff huge, especially when it comes to the Knights Templar and Oak Island. When this property came up for sale, her and her husband, I had spoke to her about the property before, but her and her husband jumped on the opportunity to buy it. And I think they got it for a reasonable price, and they have plans of raising their children on the property, and over time investigating the history and as well as, you know, the archaeological evidence and stuff that's there. So this, I think, is going to be her plan and her husband's plan, is for this to be kind of a life project for their family. So I think that whole thing is incredible for them to do that. I would love the opportunity to raise a family somewhere with, you know, with this great mystery and history. It's just like kind of like a mini Oak Island. So that's very neat.
Yes, because Rick Lagina was there with Doug Crowell, and he lowered this device with a camera on it down into a well that's on the property. They were checking the construction, and the well was only 18 feet deep, and it appeared that there was a slate floor, the same types of slates that were used in the original money pit, which is very interesting.
Yeah, the flagstone. So I guess it's strange, as well as the flagstone that was used at the top of the money pit was rumored to be from, I don't know the name of the river, but like a river that leads from the New Ross area towards Oak Island. So
the gold
there's
river.
Quite a few connections. Yes, yes. And I won't say much about it, but there is, I think there's that well is going to become a bigger part of the show, because I have seen pictures of friends on Facebook, and I have a lot of friends that are involved in this show, but I have seen a picture of a friend of mine. I never knew where it was, but it was a picture of him holding on to a rope, and he was way down in a well that was, you know, made of rock rather than, like, you know, the way I would expect a well to be. But I'm almost certain that this is the well that he was photographed going down. So I think people are going to be at the bottom of that thing before the end of the season, based on what I saw there.
Oh, interesting. Because who would put a floor in a well, especially at 18 feet? Mm-hmm. And so they were intimating that, well, possibly they're hiding something. So, yes.
Yeah.
So maybe it will become more of the show. We'll have to see.
Yeah, well, time will tell. But I just think my mind would tell me that if the well has been there for, I don't know, however long, let's say 300 years, there would have been enough stuff to build up on the bottom that even if there was like a floor, you would think it would just be covered with random debris, like leaves and just random crap. So I'm kind of surprised that they saw something compelling. My guess is that if you put your, like, what may look like flat stone, if you just ran your hand across it, it's probably just, you know, 2 feet of, like, I think they call it silt or whatever, just like, you know, just crap. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Well, the other interesting part of the map was that while it did list, it had something called the Oak Enter Here, which is right where the money pit is. It, as I said, it had something labeled Marsh, which is right where the swamp is, and the other ones I identified. But there were a couple of features listed on there that they had never heard of before, and they were the hatch, the valve, and the anchors.
Yeah, the hatch, when I heard that, a part of me, I wouldn't say roll my eyes, but I was just, you know, like you, John, I am was a massive fan of the TV show Lost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
when I heard it, I was thinking, are they going to try to say there's a hatch on this island too?
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know. It's odd because the way they describe it and everything, I'm just thinking, like, are they putting this in the show thinking nobody watched Lost and is now here? But anyway, we'll see. I guess that map, it's said to be legit and stuff. And maybe it's just a coincidence that there's also a hatch on this island.
Yes, and then they did go out and find what they thought might be the hatch, and it was a depression in the ground, and they're looking at it. And I just thought of that when you said that, Jordan, that wouldn't that be funny if Desmond's head popped out of that hole when they were looking at it?
Yeah. Which is an idea for a topic for you for sometime down the road, John, on Mysterious Topics, is the idea of number stations. I think I recommended this to you before.
Yeah, we did that one.
Oh, did you go through and do it?
Yes, we did.
I've listened to lots about number stations, so I have, they all kind of blend together. I don't remember you doing it. I guess I'll listen to it again, but that's where I first heard about them, was from the TV show Lost. It was just so cool. I actually, just bought a shortwave radio for myself for Christmas on eBay. I'm waiting for it to get here. The only reason I'm getting it is because I want to tune into number stations.
I'll let you know
if I hear anything.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we'll do an episode and you can tell us about all the exciting beeps and,
and numbers.
Really creepy songs and that sort of thing that you hear.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll see what happens with the hatch. I'm glad it's on Dave Blankenship's property or near it, because for me, it's any opportunity or any reason to have Dave on the show anymore for me is a good thing. If this is the last season of Oak Island, I think they owe it to all the viewers to give Dave Blankenship a spinoff show. And it doesn't even have to be anything to do with the island. It could just be him, you know, maintaining his property and going to get groceries. And, like, I'd watch that every week.
Yeah, he's definitely entertaining. So, okay, well, I think we pretty much covered everything that happened on this premiere episode, but I will say that by the title of the first episode, they called it Going for Broke, that this should be a really fun year to watch, because they are spending, it said, more than $2 million. And, well, to just about every one of us, that's a lot of money, but when you look at the equipment that they have, some of those big cranes and some of the other things that, you know, probably
That probably goes pretty quick.
Yeah, it would go really quick.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And I guess the other thing is the name of the show, this season or this episode, Going for Broke, kind of implies that this is going to be the end. I don't know if we'll see another season after this.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. It does sound like this will be the last year either way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of sad, but hopefully they make the most of it. It sounds like they plan on it. They did at the beginning of the show, or well, throughout the show, they narrowed down their targets to the Money Pit, the Swamp, and 10X. But then again, the Hatch and these other locations came up, so I'm sure they'll play a part in it. But really, the only other thing I wanted to mention, and something this was, I think Rick said it really early in the episode when it was Rick and Marty in the vehicle driving towards Oak Island to start their summer's work. They were talking about being optimistic and, you know, going for broke and spending the money. But one of the things that they were talking about was the idea of balancing belief and proof. And thinking of it optimistically, it seems like they have a lot more belief in what they're doing than they have proof that something's there. But much like a lot of the people who are tied up in this mystery and who are fascinated with Oak Island, it's we all just have a belief that, you know, there's going to be that there's some answer, and that all these vague clues all are related to a greater mystery or a greater solution, I should say. But I feel a lot like Rick and Marty, where I just believe that there's a mystery there that they're picking apart, and hopefully this season at the end of it will end better than the TV show Lost.
Yes, hopefully it does do that.
I don't know if they'll solve the mystery, but even if they can, you know, the Oak Island treasure hunt has been going on so long. I think they've done more in these 3 years than anyone else has in the 15 or 20 year periods that any other treasure hunters have had the reins on it. Hopefully this year they can do something and either find something conclusive or even just strike one of these locations off the list and push the lore forward and let someone else take it on after this. Well,
yes,
time will tell.
And we forgot to mention one other thing I just thought of, and that they do have these big bladders, which are these big rubber tubes that are filled with water. They're going to try to block off the bay so that they can try to find those drainage arms that supposedly flood the Money Pit. And that's really exciting too, because nobody's ever actually found those yet.
Yeah, the finger drains, I think they call them.
Yes.
Or the box drains.
Yeah.
Did they mention those, the rubber bladders or whatever? I don't remember them talking about that.
They did, but it may have been on the drilling down before.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole thing with the bladders, when I was there this summer, I took a bunch of photos, and I was on Smith's Cove, like what's rumored to be a man-made beach, taking photos, and there was just this big black bag-looking thing, and I didn't realize until I put the pictures up online that what I was photographing was the big bladder full of water. It looked like a beached whale.
Yes,
so I think I was there as that was going on.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. They did talk about it. It probably was the other show then, if you don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I was actually, briefly was talking to the host of that today, Maddie Blake. I was sending messages congratulating him on the success of Drilling Down and wishing him the best.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, anyway, I think that pretty much does it, right? Do you have anything else, Jordan?
No, I'm just really excited for the next few episodes. And next, in Canada, we're a few days behind, so the first episode actually airs in Canada on Sunday, but I managed to get an American, through an American satellite dish, I managed to see it, I'll say. So I'm excited to watch next week. I can't wait for next Wednesday.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, and so we'll have another show in 2 weeks. But till then, thank you everyone for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for having me, John. Thanks for listening, listeners of the Mysterious Topics.